Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, I'm wondering if we're ever going to get beyond 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 5 and 6. We've been lingering there for quite a little while because there's so much that needs to be explored in what the Apostle Paul tells us here about his own ministry among the Thessalonians. You recall that he has described his ministry among them as effective, and he said that in a very understated way, but nevertheless, he reminded them that when he preached the Word of God in the city of Thessalonica, the Holy Spirit of God blessed that proclamation with conversions and with the establishment of a church. That, my friends, is an effective ministry. I have had the privilege of planting one church in my lifetime. If I count another one that our church collectively planted in another city, about a little less than an hour's drive away from us, then I would have to say two, but I can't take personal responsibility for that. But of course, there's certainly not individual responsibility, but of course the Apostle Paul didn't either. He was always working in a team, and he gave credit to the team, and that's why you find so many times he uses plural pronouns instead of singular ones. And so he says in 1 Thessalonians 2:1, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." Not my coming to you, but our coming to you was not in vain. But, of course, he is the leader of the team, and he is the one that is being criticized and undermined and attacked and having to respond to that for the sake of the Thessalonian believers. So he reminds them that his ministry among them was effective. He reminds them that it was courageous. He reminds them that it was approved of God. But then he reminds them that it was unpretentious. And that's the one we're dealing with now. And we have been hunkering down on that one for quite a while. Because we need to understand what a God-approved, God-bless, God-honoring ministry looks like. Because so much that is called Christian ministry in our day, I'm afraid, is miles away from the description that we find here. So thank you for joining me on this Friday, April 19, and thank you for helping us with the financial costs of maintaining this broadcast on this station. Well, where do we get this unpretentious idea? Well, it's in verses 5 and 6. He said, "For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ." Now, there's a lot in these two verses. I haven't even gotten out of verse 5 yet, not even very far into verse 5 yet. Nevertheless, not to even mention all of verse 5 and all of verse 6. So we'll get there bit by bit, but I'm inching in that direction because I'm spending an awful lot of time making applications as I go along. But he tells us that his ministry was unpretentious, first of all, because he did not flatter people. It's as simple as that. "For neither at any time did we use flattering words." He did not flatter people. He did not praise people in an exaggerated way. He did not try to manipulate people in that manner. He did not avoid confronting people with their sins. He wasn't concerned about whether or not he made people feel bad. He was not avoiding stepping on toes. Now, when I say all these things, I recognize that it is possible to do these things bravely, you might say, as the Apostle Paul clearly did, and still do it with the wrong heart attitude, with the wrong spirit. And so I have to make that little reminder that it is not only important that we preach the truth, but that we preach the truth, what does the Bible tell us elsewhere? In love, with a loving concern for the welfare of others. The way we go about confronting people with their sins is very important. The way we step on people's toes is very important. And so it is important that we do it with the right heart attitude, that we are doing it not because we like to pound the pulpit and spout off at the mouth and create a big disturbance. Some people really like that kind of approach. But that's not what Paul did, and we've talked about that from other texts where Paul made it very clear that he was gentle in his approach, in his manner, in his attitude, and because of his love for other people. In fact, he'll get into that just a little bit later in this very same chapter. But nevertheless, he didn't trim his message in order to avoid offense. And that is a huge temptation, and that needs to be addressed, certainly by any preachers who are listening to this broadcast. And I'm glad to know that some preachers do listen to this broadcast. I heard from one just the other day, and I do hear from others from time to time, but I heard from one just the other day who tells me that he has been listening off and on to the Beacon broadcast for decades, and what a tremendous help and blessing it has been to him. Well, thank the Lord. I hope so. I hope God will use this ministry in the lives of all kinds of people, including preachers. I received an awful lot of help in my ministry by listening to good preachers and good examples of sound preaching on the radio. I can remember back in the early 80s. That goes way back, way before some of you were born. But I can remember in the early 80s when a man came on the radio that I had never heard before, and I was very attracted to his preaching. It was excellent. It was excellent in so many ways. And I said, that is the way I would like to be able to preach. I wonder if I could learn to preach like that man preaches. And I must say that I never have. And I must also say that no two men ever preach alike. And I must also say that when some young preacher tries to imitate a preacher that he admires, he almost always imitates the wrong things. He picks up on mannerisms and characteristics that really are beside the point and misses the main heart of the matter. So that's not the point I'm trying to make. But I did listen to this man, and I said, I really like the way he preaches. And so I spent some time checking him out. He was in a faraway state, and I actually traveled to that state and to his church and to his ministry, and I did that on more than one occasion because I found him to be so helpful to me. So I have found great help, and I could go through others that have been a great help to me, and other men who, likewise, I heard on the radio for the first time, and then later I went and visited their churches and learned more about their ministries, and that's been a very, very big factor in my own life and ministry. And so if I can be of help to anybody in that way, praise the Lord for that. But back to the point. How do we deal with the whole counsel of God and deal with all of the difficult parts that are troublesome and do so in a manner that is faithful unto the Lord? And I already suggested to you that I think the best way to do that, and this is just my own personal opinion, I would say it's more than an opinion, it's really become a conviction with me, at least for myself and my ministry, and that is, the best way to do this is to preach consecutive expository messages, like I'm doing now, like I do on the radio. Start in a book, chapter 1, verse 1, and just work my way all the way through the book to the end. Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, however many chapters, all the chapters, all the verses, until we have dealt with every verse in that chapter, virtually every word in that book. What does that do? Well, number one, it forces me to deal with subjects that are difficult. You see, if I stick to a topical style of ministry and I just pray every week and say, "Now, Lord, what text would you have me preach this week?" And I feel like the Lord lays something on my heart, and so I go to that verse, and the next week I go to another one, another verse in another book, in another place, and likewise all throughout my ministry. And I've done some of that in the early years. Didn't do that for very long because I just discovered early on that the expository approach to ministry was much more effective and powerful, first of all, for what it did for me, and then secondly, what it did for the people who were listening to me. I can still remember back when I had probably only been pastoring for not much more than a year, and I entered into a particular expository series. It wasn't a whole book. I hadn't gotten that far yet where I was taking whole books, but it was a chapter out of one of the Gospels, and it loaned itself, what should I say, it suggested a series of messages because of the way that particular chapter was structured. And so I remember going through that, and there were seven or eight messages in the series, and when I concluded, I still remember, it's been nearly 50 years ago now, but one of the men came up to me and said, "Wow, what are you going to do next?" He was so, I don't know how to put it exactly, blown away by that style of ministry, which he had never heard before. And it was so powerful and so helpful to him, and he just wondered what I could do as a follow-up on that. That was so good. And it was just simply consecutive exposition through virtually one entire chapter of God's Word, just taking it verse by verse and section by section until I'd finished the whole chapter. And that was a great encouragement to me, and that encouraged me to do more of that until eventually I did begin to preach my way through books of the Bible. And that was very helpful. And one of the things that will do is it will not only force you to deal with difficult passages, difficult to understand or difficult to preach because you know that people are hearing things they don't particularly want to hear, but there they are. And if you're going to be faithful to a consecutive expository style, then you don't dare skip those parts. When you do a topical style, you can skip a lot. You can go through a whole lifetime of ministry and never touch on many, many, many truths, many doctrines, many truths that God has put in His Word that He told us to declare to His people if we are His spokesman, to deliver to them the whole counsel of God. But if we always have a topical approach and skip around from place to place and choose new passages each week, what we end up doing is preaching the parts that we like, that we find easy, that we find have a favorable reception, and skipping the parts that we find difficult or that we think others will find difficult to hear. And so we never really get the Bible taught in any kind of thorough manner. And Paul says, "I didn't do that. I didn't use flattering words. I didn't use a flattering approach. Instead, I came to you with the whole counsel of God." Well, we'll take it up again, Lord willing, next week. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.